You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. An archaeological dig can yield more than arrowheads or pottery shards or pieces of jewelry. It can also yield bones. A research team at the University of Michigan has been studying some ancient dog bones dug up in Germany, and they've uncovered new clues about just when our faithful domesticated dog evolved from wolves. Dr. Jeff Kidd is an assistant professor of human genetics and computational medicine and bioinformatics. Jeff, welcome. So you focus on genetics?
I am, absolutely. Sort of fundamentally interested in how our DNA gives rise to all the diversity we see, whether it's in people or dogs and wolves or anything else.
And thus, there you are, looking at the DNA of these ancient dogs found in Europe. How old? Tell us about these samples.
Yeah, so the two samples that my team and our collaborators from a number of places looked at are about 5,000 to 7,000 years old from Germany.
That qualifies as ancient.
Yeah.
So what do you do with the bones and how do you extract this DNA that's so ancient?
Yeah, so of course there's a lot to these stories in terms of the archaeology and the field work to sort of understand the site and even identify them as a dog as opposed to some other animal based upon the bone. But where we come in is looking at the DNA sequence. So it turns out that even after an animal dies and its bones are in the ground for a long time, the DNA is still recoverable. And in fact, a key finding that's happened a couple years ago now is that there's a specific bone. It's called the Petrus bone. It's sort of the part of your inner ear in the back of your skull that's like a storehouse of DNA. And that for some reason, that bone just maintains high quality DNA for a very long time.
So you can extract that and just really basically look at the DNA that goes back to this animal that lived 7,000 years ago.
Exactly. So what my colleagues did is extracted that DNA and sequenced it. And then we compared it with sequence from 100 modern dogs and wolves from all over the world.
So what'd you learn?
So we learned a couple things. First, we sort of revisited an ongoing controversy about when and where dogs were domesticated. As you can imagine, dogs are man's best friend, right? People care very deeply about that history. And it also tells us something about how domestication itself and artificial selection can work. So a number of people have had theories about where dogs came from. Europe, Southeast Asia, Central Asia, a number of places have been proposed. Folks have argued, did domestication happen once? Did it happen multiple times? And what we saw when we compared the DNA sequences from the two samples from Germany, along with a previously published dog from around the same time in Ireland, is actually that we don't think there needs to be two domestications. We think that the data is totally consistent with a single domestication that happened quite a long time ago, perhaps up to 30,000 years, which is super old.
Yes. So when they kind of morphed or transformed from these wild wolves into what we think of as our domesticated Fido.
Exactly. But what complicates the picture is that just like humans, we now know, have moved all over the world and have complex history of gene flow, migration, changes to local environments. The same happened with dogs. So we have a very ancient split between sort of Eastern versus Western Eurasia of dogs.
And then you can also, by studying dog bones, make some comparisons to humans?
Absolutely. So one thing that we found that was sort of fascinating was that, so our samples are from Europe, of course, so we're very focused on what we could learn about Western Eurasia, is that the dogs that we sampled from Germany have ancestry components in them that trace back to similar to dogs that currently we find in India. So that tells us that dogs themselves have been migrating all over Eurasia for a long time, just like humans were.
Are dog bones also kind of comparable to human bones? Can you learn things that give you insights into early humans?
From the bones themselves, you know, people learn a lot in terms of the culture of groups, in terms of archaeology, and how sort of settlements related to each other, how animals were buried, how people were buried, that sort of type of thing.
Did you see how dog genetics changed and impacted their health?
That's sort of a motivating question for a lot of us, right? It's not just sort of, you know, when and where did dogs become dogs from wolves, but, you know, how did that happen? What are the genes that changed? And so we were able to take a look at a number of factors. So this ancient DNA, this ability to go back in time and sort of figure out, you know, what's the snapshot of diversity that existed 5,000, 10,000 years ago is hugely powerful. And we were able to reassess, you know, some claims that people have made in terms of modern variation. And so there's a number of folks who've looked at modern dogs and found differences between modern dogs and modern wolves. And we go and look at our ancient samples, and we saw that in some cases, the ancient dog had the modern dog gene. So that potentially could be something that happened during domestication a long time ago. And other times they didn't, which tells us that looking just at the modern samples is sort of tricking us. We're sort of blind to the ancient events, and that what we're sometimes confusing is selection or adaptation that happened much more recently than the initial event.
Is there a similar human example?
Yeah. So this idea that when this sort of genetic changes started spreading through populations is something that ancient DNA has found also in humans. In humans, of course, a phenotype that a lot of people are familiar with is lactose intolerance, or the inability to digest milk as an adult. There's a genetic variant that's very common in Europeans that gives you the ability to digest milk when you're an adult. And that variant, it's very clear, has been under very strong recent selection. It's been spreading in the population. But human ancient DNA has told us that if we go back and look at Europeans several thousand years ago, even though they had agriculture and milk, that variant really wasn't that common. So that sort of spread of that ability to digest lactose in humans happened much more recently. And we think of something very similar is the case with dogs, but it's not the ability to digest milk, but the ability to metabolize or eat starch. Modern dogs, of course, eat a diet that's very different than ancient or modern wolves. And there's a very clear genetic change involving the gene amylase to digest starch that we see in dogs all around the world. But when we look in our ancient samples, we see that they don't really have that change, even though the people at the time had agriculture and grain would have been available. So there seems like there's a parallel story there of this time lag in terms of when these genetic beneficial variants really start to spread.
How does what happened so many thousands of years, how does that give you more insight, scientists more insight into health issues and genetic changes that we may be undergoing as humans in 2017?
Now, dogs are a great model for learning about human health and disease as well. So we share very similar environments. Anyone who's ever taken their dog to the vet knows that dogs get very sophisticated treatment from modern veterinary medicine, including pharmaceuticals that are relatively similar to humans. Dogs get cancer, of course, which is a disease of huge relevance to people. Understanding the genetic basis of dog disease often has direct impact into understanding common ways the human disease develops as well. And beyond just biomedicine and these things, another sort of fundamental question that dogs are super useful for is understanding how genes change to give diverse phenotypes. You, of course, look at dogs and you see a tremendous variety. Many, many people have seen this. It goes all the way back to Darwin, who noted domesticated animals have distinct changes in how they are relative to their wild offspring. And a number of folks have tried to do studies to understand, you know, how that happens and what's the fundamental way that genes and genomes change over time. And now with dogs and the ability to go back in time and directly use this ancient DNA time machine, we're beginning to unravel this in more and more specific detail to basically understand how evolution happened.
It feels like you and other geneticists are assembling this big jigsaw puzzle. And at times you're doing it almost with your eyes closed and trying to find that piece that fits in with another piece.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so dependent on our ability to both make very specific statistical models of genetic data, but to ultimately go and test them with what we actually see, both in animals that are alive now and now with this amazing ancient DNA technology to go back in time. It's really an exciting time. There's all kinds of hypotheses and new findings in dogs and humans all the time. And literally, I go to a meeting or open up a journal and I never know what fossil someone got DNA from that's going to totally change our view of the past.
And new information from ancient dogs. Fascinating work. Dr. Jeffrey Kidd, University of Michigan geneticist. We want to thank you so much for sharing your work with us on Stateside.
Thank you. My pleasure.